when we sang that song just a minute ago. Do you know that song? We haven't sung it in a while, have we? Did you notice down in that far left corner, right down here, anything about that song? Okay, we'll get that in a minute. Did you see anything about that? One of the things that I do when I sing from the hymnal is I look down at the very bottom page of the page and I say, where it says, words and music by. This one was written by Halder Lillenis, about 1919. Does that mean anything to anybody? He's a Nazarene. This is a Nazarene hymn. It's not a Methodist hymn. It's not a Baptist hymn. This is a Nazarene hymn. In fact, if you've ever heard of, you know, this is neat. If you go to a Baptist church and look at their choir curriculum, the things that they sing in their choir, pull out their songs, a lot of them say on the very back of them, Lillenis Publishing Company. Not the Baptist Company. You know, not, you know, whatever their companies. What is it called? Broadmoor. Now, there'll be some stuff from them, but there's a lot of the stuff that will say Lillenis on it. What's important about that? That's us. This guy had his own publishing company, and when we decided to have our own music publishing company, we bought his rights, and it became the Nazarene, part of the Nazarene Publishing House. It is a sub-business under the Nazarene Publishing House. Now, this is minutiae. This is information that really doesn't matter, except when we sing this song, we are singing a song that was written at the birth of our movement. When our movement was just a few years old, 100 years ago, this guy wrote this song. And our churches all over the world sang it. Ain't that special? Ushers, come and worship the Lord tonight with the giving of our offerings. Go right ahead. You hear the music? It's pretty music. It's not in my head. I actually hear it in my ears. It's the sound of God's people giving God's money back to God. It's a beautiful thing. Well, tonight we're going to start by reading in the book of Romans, chapter 13. Romans chapter 13, starting with verse 1. Romans chapter 13, verse 1, and like always, I'll be reading from the Nazarene International Version, the NIV, New International Version, and it reads something like this. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, he who rebels against the authorities is rebelling against what God has instituted. And those who do so will be judged, will bring judgment on themselves. Father, we come to an interesting time in our history. It's not a new time. We've experienced this before. But Lord, tonight, help us to understand these words and understand what is happening in our world and come to understand what you would have us to do and how you would have us to be. Would you speak through my lips and open our hearts, not to hear my words, but to hear your words speaking to us. Thank you, Father. Amen. I have wrestled for a week or two about what I'd be talking to you about tonight. I tell you that every time. It's true every time. In my devotion time, I just finished a really small book, the book of Titus, and I was pretty clear that was not where we were going, even though that book is absolutely full of gold. So I went back to Acts after last Wednesday night. and hearing the great message about prayer. And so I went to the second chapter of Acts, and I was thinking about talking to you about, you know, that first group of people, that 3,000 plus that came to the Lord on Pentecost Sunday, and how they devoted themselves to several things, and that last included prayer. That last of the list there included prayer. And then I stayed up last night as long as I dared to and watched the results of the election. Did you vote? Let me tell you something. If you didn't and you have any complaints, you have no right to say a word. Just suck it up and take it, because you gave up your right to complain when you gave up your right to vote. I know that I didn't vote today. I still have this thing. I voted last week. I voted early. And I put this in my wallet so that I could wear it yesterday. And I forgot. That's okay. The squirrels running around the campground and the horses and everybody that's there right now, which is really nobody except Peggy and I, they didn't care if I wore it or not. So I thought I'd wear it tonight to let y'all know I voted last week. According to this scripture, what happened last night was divinely oriented. It was divinely planned by God. I believe that my vote counted. I know it did. And I believe that God had me vote a certain way. And I believe that God's man won the election. Okay? Unfortunately, I didn't vote for the guy that won the election. But I believe God's man won the election. How many of you believe that? Two people, three people, four people. What does it say here? Everyone must submit themselves to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God has established. How can you not believe that what happened last night was ordained by God? When the scriptures right here in Romans says that what happened last night is ordained by God. I don't understand it. I don't have to understand it. I'm not God. And last time I checked, neither are you. We are His servants. And because of that, we find ourselves having to accept things we don't understand. We have a new president. Well, we have a new president-elect. His name is Barack Obama. And he's going to be a marvelous president. And I'm planning on that. You know why? God ordained it. God ordained that what happened last night would happen. I believe that. I trust God with all of my heart. And because I trust God with all of my heart, with all my intellect, I have to trust that what happened in His providence was what He wanted to happen. Now, who was the apostle writing to when he wrote the book of Romans? He was writing to Christians in Rome. Was Rome a nice Christian country at that time? I don't think so. In fact, it wasn't very long after that they became very strong in their persecution of the Christians. In fact, at the very time, Paul may have even been being persecuted. And he has the audacity to say, submit to the authorities that are over you. Submit to the Romans? The Romans crucified Jesus. Submit to them? Why should we do that? Because they're in authority over us. And God has established those in authority over us to be in authority over us. So what Paul is saying is, even though they're pagan and they don't follow me, I have put them where they are for such a time as this. Now, a beautiful thing just happened. About 232 years ago, it happened for the first time. And we elected our first president. And his name was George Washington. And he didn't want to be president. But they pressured him into being the president anyways. And after a couple of years, or however long he served, I didn't do that research, and I apologize. Guess what happened? A new thing happened. Because when his term was up, they had an election. And somebody else was voted to be the new president. And our second president was elected. And it was not a revolution that caused that second president to become in power. You hear where I'm going? In Russia, not too long ago, they had an election where the president, his term was up, and they were going to elect a new president. Well, the president didn't want to give up authority, so he got them to make him prime minister. And now, Russia has a prime minister and a president. And the president is under the authority of the prime minister. They had a peaceful transition from one government to the other. No, they didn't. They just changed their names around and made it look like they were having a democracy and a peaceful transfer. But what have we done? On January 20th of 2009, Barack Obama will stand on the steps of the Capitol and take the oath of office. And for the 44th time, we will transition from one government to another government peacefully. That's a rare thing. In the world, that is a very rare thing. Just ask anybody in South America, where every transition of government happens with a mini war, with people taking over, with people coming in and using tanks and weapons to become the new president. When Fidel Castro became president of Cuba, he didn't do it with a ballot box. He did it with an M16. He did it with a revolution. And now, they don't call their government a government, they call it, or even communists, they call it the revolution. For 50-some years, well, 49 years, they've had the revolution going, and sometime soon there will be a transition of government. And if things go like they have gone in the past, there will be some kind of conflict in Cuba, and there'll be a new dictator. Why am I telling you all these things? We need to be proud of our country. Some of you voted for Barack Obama, and I don't want you to show me who. Doesn't matter. Some of you voted for McCain. Don't show me. Doesn't matter. Because all that's over. We've all voted. Those of us who voted have all done our civic duty. Now, we are all winners. How can you be the winner when the man you voted for lost the election? Are you the winner? What do you think? Yes. We are winners because our system is what we're winning. A system of government that allows us to voice our opinion and take that opinion and have a new leader. It doesn't matter if our man wins. It doesn't matter if it's not a football game, okay? You know, you don't come up with the most points and you go home with the big trophy. It's not that way. When it's all said and done and everybody's had their say, then one person comes up on top and they become the president. And it's not a bad thing. It's a beautiful thing. We need to step back and take a little bit of a clue or cue from our predecessors in England. Back in the 1200s and in France, they did the same thing in the 1400s. In fact, the original saying was a French saying, which I can't tell you because I don't speak French. I could write it out probably, but I can't say it. But at the death of the king, there was a saying that they would say. Some of you are already thinking of it. When the king in England dies, what do they say? The king is dead. Long live the king. We go, what? The king is dead. Long live the king. It's a powerful thing that they're saying. They're saying that we already know who the next king is going to be. When this king dies, at the moment of his death, this next person is the king. There's no transition. It happens immediately. His last breath, he stops being the king. The king is dead. Long live the king. In fact, there will come a time, I don't know when, she's getting up there, when Queen Elizabeth will breathe her last. And you know what they'll say? The queen is dead. Long live the king. Because her son will immediately become the king. And if they decided that her son is not going to be the heir apparent, but her grandson, that's fine. They will have already decided that well before her demise, and when they say the king has died, or in her case, the queen has died, long live the king, they will be making that assertion once more time. Well, for us, what we say is the president's term has ended. George Bush can no longer be president. Well, I guess in 4 years he could be reelected. I'm not positive about that. But he can only serve 2 terms consecutively. He could not be reelected, even if we wanted him to be reelected. The president's term is ended. Now it's time for our new president. And on January 20th, that will begin his term as president. What are we to do then? We only have one thing we're to do. It tells us in 1 Timothy chapter 2 what we are to do. Anybody know what that says? I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, and intercessions and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings, for all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. We have one thing to do, and that is, like we talked about last week, like we talked about Sunday morning, pray. Theoretically, if the election had gone the other way, this message would be appropriate then too. Because it really doesn't matter who we voted for. From here on out, we have elected a president. We have elected senators, and we've elected representatives. We've elected a whole slew of people to govern us. And now, it is up to us to do the second part of our civic duty, and that is to pray for them. Now, normally I wouldn't be finished at about 7:30, but what I have to say is just about over. We're going to put that into practice tonight. We've got about 30 minutes left in our time that we've set aside each week for our midweek service. As I was coming, though, I remember what we used to call our midweek service. What did we call it? Prayer meeting. I'm going to prayer meeting. Every Wednesday night, we went to prayer meeting. Well, we don't call it prayer meeting anymore. You know why? Somewhere along the way, we just stopped praying at prayer meeting. I'm not talking about our nice little prayer that we do, and that's nice. I'm talking about prayer meeting like prayer meeting used to be. And I remember, as a kid, I remember turning around in my pew and kneeling on the ground, which I know that most people here probably are not physically able to do. But I remember that. I remember burying my face in the metal chairs there at Old Fort Lauderdale First and listening to the saints pray. All of them. They prayed so loud that I couldn't hear one particular one. So eventually I learned that what I should do then was not listen to them pray, but to pray. There's something special about praying out loud. It was hard for me as a child to do that. I didn't know what to say. As I got older, I learned that what you say when you pray is you just talk to Jesus. You don't have to use special language. You don't have to jump up and down. You don't have to run hither, thither, and yon. You just talk to Him. And that's what He wants. So in a moment, we're going to do a little bit of prayer. And it'll be a little bit of directed prayer. Meaning that as we go to prayer, I'm asking that you would pray. If you must be silent when you pray, you must. But I would really like to hear you pray. Because you know what happens? It's not but 1 or 2 minutes till no one can hear you pray. Because they can only hear themselves praying. When the tone of prayer raises to a certain level, then what happens is you get to tune out everybody else's prayer and concentrate yourself on the Lord. Now hopefully with the microphone, I'll be able to speak over that and give you a little bit of direction in your prayer time. Because we are going to be specific on our prayer time. We may not pray for a whole half hour. We probably won't now. But we're going to pray until we're done. And when we're done, we'll conclude our service, our prayer meeting, and go home. Now if we're done in 5 minutes, I guess we've got 5 minutes worth of prayer in us. If we're done in a half hour, then we've done a little bit better. But let's just pray until we're done. Let me invite you, those of you who can, to just turn around right where you're at and kneel right there in the pew. The floor's not padded, but it's not padded up here either. So you're okay. If you're physically not able, if your knees won't handle it, if for some reason you just can't do it, just stay seated there, but in an attitude of prayer. And I will start praying, and I invite you to join me. Father, we are desperate for You. We don't understand all that has happened, but we know that it's of You. We know that You're God, and that You're in charge, and that You have everything under control. We have fear in our hearts because of the stories that we've heard. Most of those stories are probably untrue. But I pray, Father, that You would help us not to have any trust in anybody but You, but to have trust in You, to know that You are not planning on hurting us, but You are planning on blessing us. You've got a plan for us, a plan to help us, plan to walk with us, and a plan to prosper us, a plan to make us Your people. Help us to be Your people. Now, Father, as we pray, Lord, I pray that we would lift up our new president, Barack Obama. Father, he is Your man. And we don't know what You have planned for him, but we do know that You have something planned for him. You have put him at the right place at the right time for such a time as this. And we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what all he's going to go through. But as he makes these preparations between now, November, and January the 20th, I pray that You would help him to pick the right people for the right offices. That as he establishes that cabinet, Lord, that You would help him to find people to be put into those places that are the right people. Some of them will be Democrats. Some of them will be Republicans. Some of them, we don't even know what they'll be. But it doesn't matter, because what it matters will be that they'll be the right person for that job. That his advisors will not be people who look after just their own interests, but they will look after the interests of the country and the interests of us, the people of this country. And more important, that they will seek Your face. And finding Your face will make their decisions based on Your will. Father, we lift up this man. and his family. We pray that you would put your hedge of protection around them, that you would protect them physically. Father, I know that they are in danger right now because there are those in this country that, because he is of an African American descent, would want to kill him. And I pray, Father, that you would protect him. Protect him. Protect him, Father, that he may live a long and prosperous life, and that he may be able to govern this country well in your name. Father, we pray that you would be with his wife in this transition, and that you would be with his children, that you would help them to draw close to each other, and that as they go through this, the trials of this transition and then the trials of the office, that you may help them to be close to each other, and being close to each other also draw close to you. Father, I pray that you would just touch them in your special way. Now, Lord, I pray for the transition team, those who are being tapped on the shoulder for the different jobs, Lord, that you would help them to have wisdom whether or not it's you tapping them or somebody else. Father, give those people, and the names we don't even know, Lord. We just trust that you will help Mr. Obama, President-elect Obama, to select the right people. And as he selects them, that you will give those people the wisdom to know whether they are the right person for that job or not. That you will speak to them. That you will draw them to you. That you will be clear to them what your will is. And then that you'll help those who are the right people to be to accept the position and to go through all of the trials that are involved in those types of appointments. Lord, I pray that you would help them as they pull together the cabinet, Lord. And then I pray for the new administration, Lord. I pray for this new administration that you would give them wisdom beyond their own. Lord, for the last 18 months or so, we've been talking, listen to the candidates talk about what they would do. Yet they didn't know what was going on. They're not privileged to the briefings that the president gets. Now, even now, as we speak, probably the CIA and the FBI will start to give the briefings to this new president, and they will start to hear things they've never heard before. And I pray, Lord, that your wisdom would be upon him. He claims to be a Christian. Father, would you help that to shine in him? That indeed, as our new president stands before us, that we may see your light shine in him. That you would give him wisdom beyond his own. Your wisdom. Your wisdom poured into him. Fill him with your wisdom, O Jesus. Now, Father, I pray also that you would have your way in the future of this country. The United States of America was set aside by you. What a great nation. The fundamentals of this nation, Lord, were established based on the Judeo-Christian ethic. The idea that there is one God. The idea that God, which is you, Father, have things that are right and wrong. That you've given us rights and responsibilities, and that we can come together and with tolerance allow each other to have our relationship with you, but yet to find peace and prosperity in this new nation. It's been a great experiment, Lord. 232 years worth of experiment. Let it go, Father. For many years, would you continue to use this country to spread your word around the world? Would you continue to use this country to develop Christians that are strong in their faith? Would you continue to make this a great nation to live in? Now, Father, I pray not just for the future of our country, but I pray for all the leaders. Not just the president, but for the senators and those in the House of Representatives. And not just for those who are up in Washington in Congress, but for those who are here in Georgia, for our governor, Lord, I pray that you would be with Sonny Perdue, that you would draw him to yourself, that you would fill him with your Spirit, and Father, that you would make him into a vibrant Christian, that you would shine on his life in such a way that no one would be able to say anything negative about his Christian walk. Lord, I pray that you would be with all that are in the House of Representatives here in Georgia. I pray that you would touch our state leaders as they write laws, as they make rules, as they levy taxes, as they do all the things that a government does. Father, I pray that you would give them wisdom. And right now, Lord, they're in a quandary. They don't know what to do about our economy. They find themselves short on funds because of many things that have happened, Lord, and we're gonna get worse roads and schools that aren't doing what they need to do. But I pray, Lord, not for the results, but that you would touch our leaders, that they would have wisdom. Not my wisdom, but your wisdom. And we don't have to understand your wisdom. We don't have to understand why you would have them do certain things. But Father, we pray that you would touch them and that you would help them. Father, I pray that you would just touch us each. Now I bring that prayer all the way here to Dublin in Lawrence County. And I pray that you would be with the leaders here, our mayor, and those on the city council, and those on the school board, and those who are the chief of the police, and the chief of the fire department, and those who run the health department, and those who run the post office, Lord. I pray that in each of those civic areas that you would give them wisdom, that you would touch them, and that you would draw them close to you, that you would shine through them, and that you would, Father, that you would govern this area of the country in a way that would be honoring to you, Father. But govern through them. And now, Lord, I bring it all the way to this church. And I pray that you would put your hand on our pastor. I pray that you would give him wisdom over the next few days while he's at Trevecca serving as a member of the Board of Trustees. I pray that you would be with the president of our college, that you would be with Dan Boone and the other members of the Board of Trustees, that you would give them wisdom to know how to direct our college so that it can grow into the future, that it can be that place, that fertile ground where men and women can go to prepare to be ministers. Not just ordained ministers, but that they can go and prepare to be ministers in a classroom, or ministers in a hospital, or ministers in so many other areas, in all of the fields of study that Trevecca offers. Lord, I pray that you would bless that school, and that you would bless the faculty and staff and the students that are there. And now, Lord, I pray that you would bless our pastor as he comes back here. Not just for the Traveling Mercies, Father, but that as he guides Dublin First Church of the Nazarene into the future, that you would give him wisdom beyond his own. That you would speak to him and speak through him. That you would speak to our board members, the trustees and the stewards, that you would help them to hear your voice. And that the decisions that they make would not be made as man makes decisions. Not made based on, well, how much money we have or what seems to be the right thing, but that every decision would be made based on a prayerful consideration and the wisdom of God. Father, we trust that you would guide our board members. And now, Lord, it comes right down to us, the members of this church, servants of the living God. I pray, Father, that you would speak to us, that you would help us to be submissive to the authorities around us. Would you teach us to pray? Would you teach us to pray without ceasing? Would you help us to understand that prayer is not a chore? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Father, I want to pray a blessing on these, my brothers and sisters. In the model of the prayer of Jabez, I pray this prayer on my fellow Nazarenes here at Dublin First Church. Father, would you bless each of these people? Would you expand their territory and would you put your hand on their lives? Would you put a hedge of protection around them, Lord, and protect them mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and morally? Would you speak plainly to us that we may each know your will? And then as we know your will, would you give us the courage to follow in your will, even though it may not seem like the right thing to do? Even though we don't understand it, would you give us that courage? And more than anything, Father, I pray that you would fill us with your Spirit. And not just a little bit, Father, would you fill us with your Spirit through and through, from the tops of our heads to the bottoms of our feet, from the tips of our right hand fingers all the way through to the tips of our left hand fingers, from our front to our back, from our inside to our outside, every part of us. Would you fill us so full that we cannot contain you? Lord, don't fill us like a cup. We don't want to hold you. Would you fill us like you fill a hose that you run through us? And as you continue to fill us, that we would continue to pour through us your Spirit to all those around us. Thank you, Father. Now I pray that you would strengthen us, that we would be able to stand in this world and proclaim your love to everyone we meet, and that we would be able to come back this Sunday and sing your praises and tell what great things you've done as we've shared your love with those all around us. Thank you, Father. All these things we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.